This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Overdrive. Whether you're listening on TSN 1050 or you're streaming on the TSN Go app.
Oh, right. Got to stream this. I want to see this happen.
Yeah, we're going to be on TV. I'm Matthew Cause, filling in for Brian Hayes all this week. With me all this week, you know him from SportsCenter. You know him from the details. It is Derek Taylor. How you doing, Derek?
Good. I can't believe you think Mr. 3000 is the superior movie.
No.
Sorry, not yet?
No. We're going to get into that later. Mr. 3000 versus Mr. Baseball.
Rest in peace, Bernie Mac.
Yes, we were having that conversation as part of our prep for the show.
Can't believe it.
Also, one thing we have to do one of these days, and maybe not today, because today there's actually lots of real news. Midweek, there's going to be nothing. It's a barren wasteland. It's the reason why Dave Naylor has never worked this week. Because he's both smart and a coward. Because he knows...
He's a total coward.
But we will discuss foods that we seem to give a bleep about way too much in 2017 that we didn't care about in 2007. We will get into that.
Yeah, you get beaten over the head with them. Like the what is the Chris Christie of food, right? Yeah,
exactly.
It's terrible.
The superfoods.
We're going to get in some Argos talk because it's you and me all week long, right? We're going to get in some Argos talk this time because there is a lot to talk about with that team.
And for the listeners who are used to it, we apologize if we don't do as much Argo talk as Brian Hayes, one of the local CFL insiders here, all the time. It's Sean Lemon this and Brandon Whitaker that. But we'll try to do our best to keep up what he does.
Nice.
Yeah. Here's a question. There's a lot to get into with the Raptors because it's been a crazy last 24 hours from Masai Ujiri. Damari Carroll dumped off to New Jersey. Team saves a lot of money. They are able to bring in C.J. Miles, 3-year deal, $25 million. That's a great signing for the team. So there's a lot of different things to get into, and they've got their mid-level exception back, whatever that means. The full mid-level, which just means they can spend more money on a player if need be.
Yep.
I mean, it just, you know.
It's difference between like 8 a year and 5 a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's what that means. But here's a question, and I'll throw it out on Twitter, and I'd love to get your response for the listeners. Do you feel bad for Damari Carroll? Because on one level, you'd think, no, that's ridiculous. He's getting paid well over $30 million the next 2 years. But all he's known in his life, or the main driving force in his life, is basketball. And he failed. He failed miserably here in Toronto. Now, of course, it's not 100% on him, and you know there are injuries, but hey, that's your body. You got hurt. It's not fair, but there it is. Do you feel sorry for him? Because his failure is in front of millions and millions of people. And what happened over the weekend is the team saying, we will do whatever it takes to get rid of you. We will get rid of a first and a second round draft pick just so we no longer have to employ you. And it's easy not to feel sorry because, you know, you just think about the money. But part of me does. Part of me feels bad for Damari Carroll because I know he's going to put on, a rise and grind and new opportunity. Bah, bah, bah. But on one level, it's still, I was brought in to be a major piece for this organization that had won 48 and 49 games before I got here, and I failed.
Bone of contention. First bone of contention of the week, 4:04 p.m. They didn't want Damari Carroll's salary.
They didn't really want him. He wasn't a good player.
If Damari made $3 million, but his salary puts them into the tax, and his salary would end up costing them a ton of money, and as Josh Lewenberg has pointed out, they wouldn't be able to use the full mid-level exception if they kept his deal around. So if he made less money, this is Brooklyn's the dumping place for bad contracts.
And
right
it's
now.
Smart. Brooklyn's doing a very smart thing.
They're taking advantage of an inefficiency.
Yep.
I mean, okay, they had to take Timofey Mozgov,
but they got D'Angelo Russell, the number 2 overall draft pick from 2 years ago. He's 21
exactly.
years old.
And that was the thing last year when everybody was throwing around $72 million to Alan Crabb and $52 million, $55 million or $65 million to Timofey Mozgov. Mm-hmm. You looked at it and went, What if the money doesn't keep exploding?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a once in a generation hike in the cap. So now, I mean, there's going to be, you're going to make 50 cent, like, there's going to be 50 cent dollars floating around next year. And D'Angelo Russell, Damari Carroll might very well be a 50 cent dollar for the Brooklyn Nets.
So do you feel bad for Damari Carroll?
I do, because I feel bad for any athlete who, you know, he cashed in and thought, yes, I'm going to be the number three piece on this team that's going to compete in the East. I'm going to be, you know, this thing that they absolutely need. Three-point shooting, defense, we're going to take a run at Cleveland, and you're done in by injuries?
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for just about anybody done in by injuries.
And the funny thing is, you and I are I'm going to imagine, the exception to the rule. Because I threw this out in the TSN radio area, and there was about five or six people, and almost all of them were like, no, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. To be fair, though, a lot of those guys are hardened by jail time. So,
yeah, that is true.
That's different. True.
Yeah, and they're interns, so you know they probably don't get much money. So then, you know, it's different, because what this comes down to is it's sometimes hard to divorce money from the equation. Because, like, no, I don't feel sorry. He gets that much money. Why should I feel bad for him? He's set up generationally for him, his family, down the road.
Yep.
But there's still a part of me that I have empathy, and I feel bad for him because, you know, he has to look at it. I was a failure. He couldn't shoot threes, and he's like, yeah, you know, I didn't want to just be a guy who stands there and shoot threes. I wanted you to do more. Well, guess what? Coaching staff wanted you to do that, and he didn't do it very well.
Yep.
So
when people say that, oh, he makes a bunch of money, he'll be fine, it tells you more about the person saying that, right? Because there are so many prongs to your work life that are important, and money's absolutely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But money is not the only one.
No, it's not.
Carmelo Anthony shows us that money is not the only one, and winning a chance to win a title is not the only one, because I like living in New York and I'm going to stay here. My old boss, Phil Jackson, hated me, mm-hmm. wanted me anywhere else. There's so many parts that are important to it that, you know, he can have $15 million a year, whatever it is, but if you're not living up to what you think you are, there's no amount of money that can make you feel good about that.
Yes.
Now, if you're falling short, That hurts more than any dollar.
Now, for people yelling at us in the radio, in your car, and I get why you're yelling. It's raining again. I hope your drive home is okay. I get it for people that say, no, I don't have sympathy. Because it is that amount of money, and money can change you. And hey, money can't buy happiness, but it can sure take away the blues.
But I'm happiest when I can buy what I want, anytime that I want.
It's
getting
it's,
high what I want.
That's right. That's our lives every day. What I'm saying is, for the people that think this is bunk, I get it, but I just have a different mindset. I look at Damari Carroll, and part of me feels bad for him. This deal, it's something we were going to argue about, because Masai Ujiri turned it all around by the end of the weekend. When they got rid of Damari Carroll, I started making my notes for the show. And the focus was that this was the worst move of Masai Ujiri's career with the Raptors. It's been mostly fairly to very successful. And then, you know, CJ Miles dump all this contract. They're under the salary cap. They're in a better position. But I said it early on. I hated the Damari Carroll signing by the Raptors.
Right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
2015, hated
yes.
it.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. The Damari Carroll acquisition by the Raptors is like someone buying a home in the beaches in March, when home sales were at their highest level, before Kathleen Wynne and the government doing things to try to bring down housing costs. Because think about Damari Carroll. Before he got to Atlanta, he was on four teams in 5 years. Red flag. That to me says not a very good player. Then he goes to Atlanta, plays great. In his second year, his final year, career high in field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throws, scoring, all these things. He was on a 60-win team with a great coaching staff, surrounded by four All-Stars. And then he went to Toronto to expect him, and then there was the injuries, and he was signed, you know, dealing with some injuries. But to expect him to be anything of what he was in his last year with Atlanta, and he was going to be able to translate that and have that same success in Toronto, was a foolish move by the Raptors.
Completely disagree.
All right.
The only... Paul Millsap's still a real player. Al Horford...
Don't talk about 2017.
When you want to say
talk about 17. Talk about it at that year when they won 60 wins.
Sure,
Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap, Al Horford. I'm not saying they're at the level.
Were any one of those players in the top 15 in the league?
at that time.
They were all stars, but were they, there's no superstar in that bunch.
No, no, no. There was no superstar. But there was four stars, four legitimate all stars on a 60-win team with a great coaching staff. And
who, qualifier, Eastern Conference all stars.
That's fine. So you you disagree with me. You think
I love the move.
You thought that Damari Carroll was going to be that sort of success in Toronto.
I thought it was exactly what the Raptors wanted, because that's where the NBA is going, and everybody's still looking for a guy who is what Damari Carroll was in 14-15.
He was a blip. That's what Damari Carroll was.
He shot threes and
yes,
played defense.
Yes, he did.
And he was long enough and strong enough to play defense against multiple positions.
In a perfect situation. Those don't exist. Unless you're in Golden State or moments with San Antonio.
So they do exist then.
They are outliers, and anyone who uses an outlier as their argument is doomed to fail.
Nick Young would say there's a perfect situation, and it's me getting paid in Golden State.
Yes, in Golden State. The Raptors were not a 48-win, were not a 60-win team filled with all-stars. They were a very good team, but they were not what Atlanta was that year.
14-15 Damari Carroll is what every team wants and still wants.
Yeah, a blip. Like, that's a blip. No, that's all he was. He was with four teams in his first 5 years.
So what?
But he was a one-hit wonder. He was Come On Eileen. That's who Damari Carroll.
One of the greatest songs of all time, exactly.
Yeah,
so you're saying he was one of the greatest players of all time. He shot threes. He defended.
Yeah.
He defended LeBron in the playoffs. That obviously got him a lot of attention. It was a big body. He was strong. You're like, this guy, okay, we're a defensive-oriented team. I love defense. Let's pick this guy up. It's what the Raptors needed. It turned out terribly.
It did.
It turned out terribly.
But I don't think it was what they...
You don't get to know what the result is, but when you make the decision. So you got to pay the guy. You don't get to know that Hakeem Olajuwon is a broken old man when you sign him
up
for 3 years.
No, you knew that, because Vince Carter said sign him, and that was under weak management that wanted to just acquiesce to their superstar. That's the only reason why Hakeem Olajuwon ever came to the Raptors.
You didn't get to know that Steve Nash was going to the Lakers when you threw out an offer to Landry Fields.
Woo.
Right? You don't get to know. If Steve Nash had come to the Raptors and not his body hadn't fallen apart, that Landry Fields contract was fantastic because, oh, New York signed it, now they can't have him, and boom. We get Steve Nash. That would have been amazing, but you don't get to know the results. So
at the time, it was perfect.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me ask you,
yep.
Because you're professing to be excited about CJ Miles.
I didn't. I never said that. I thought it's a good move. It makes sense.
Because he shoots threes and he can play defense?
Yeah.
That's what Damari Carroll was in 2015.
He also got
Carroll's the bigger body.
An $8 million deal? These are different situations. Here's what it comes down to for me.
So CJ Miles is quantifiably worse by salary.
Could
be. That what we're saying?
Could be.
But then, like, how can you even be remotely excited about CJ Miles while all the while just laying one on Damari Carroll?
Not laying it on Damari Carroll. Good for Carroll to get the money. It's on Raptors management. That's my issue. If there's a guy,
great signing.
If there is a guy who's been in the league for 6 years now, on five teams, and had one really good year when he's surrounded by all-stars, you're telling me, oh, okay, well, now he's finally turned it around, and he'll be that moving forward. That's the thing, is everyone looked at the 1 year of Damari Carroll and said, oh, I'm going to project that thing there is going to continue to be that thing in a completely different environment, and that for me is foolhardy.
Isn't that the entirety of a GM's job, though?
Yes, to try to figure it out. And Masai screwed up. He screwed up on that one.
Upon reflection, it didn't work out the way he wanted. But did he screw up because it was a bad decision at the time or because things emerged afterward?
Oh, part of it was injuries.
Couldn't get healthy.
Part of it was injuries, but they kind of signed him when he was a little bit injured.
Yeah, and those are tricky. And you take a risk, right? If you shoot 60% from 3-point, pretend you shot 60% from the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And you took a shot with the clock running down and you missed.
Mm-hmm.
A bad shot? No, because I hit 60% on my open three, so it's probably a good idea that I shoot this, and I missed it. Sometimes you miss. Even Robert Horry would miss shots every once in a while.
Yes, he would.
Who bounced around to a bunch of teams.
Bounced
he must suck. He must be terrible. Bounced around to a bunch of teams.
You know who bounces
played
around?
Played for two teams before he went to the Lakers. He must
not
be awful.
Stars. And guess what? When he went to that Laker team, that team had Phil, when Phil was still sane.
Wow, that guy went off a cliff, eh? Holy
Kobe
cow.
and Shaq. Oh, yeah, by the way,
ugh.
Phil Jackson. And Phil Jackson is getting paid.
Oh.
Just millions of dollars.
12 a season, yeah.
12, it worked out to, he got something like $700,000 per win. I mean, James Harden, we get angry at him and his $500,000 per game, but Phil, $700,000 per win.
Do you get angry at people for the money they make?
Never.
See, and I never do either, and no. I never have. When I made $23,000 a year doing radio, someone makes a bunch. Oh my! I remember being the last time I was probably fascinated with it was like Ricky Henderson got a $3.5 million contract. We're like, who deserves $3.5 million a year?
Well,
but this NBA money that's going around, how can this guy be worth $203 million?
Yeah.
Because he's in a business that makes a ton of bucks.
Well,
and it's because of guys like him. So he is underpaid no matter how much he makes. Steph Curry.
The funny thing is, and again, it's not me trying to play both sides. I get it why people get upset with the money because they see how much they make in their lives and like, wait a minute, that guy get paid that much to bounce a ball. And, you know, the average fan, like, wait a minute, I played some basketball, so there maybe is a way to slightly relate.
Right.
What I always find interesting is, no one brings up how much did Bono make, is he making on this U2 tour. No one cares about just, like, you know, what M. Night Shyamalan, what did he make when he directed The Last Airbender? Or just pick whatever horrible movie you want. And no one ever brings it up. It's only in the world of sports. Sports is very unique with that. And part of it's because there's salary cap and cap considerations, so I get why money is consumed differently in sports than it is in entertainment.
Right.
But sports is still there to entertain us. And the reason why U2 tickets are really expensive is Bono's got to get paid. The reason why, you know, basketball tickets really expensive because Kyle Lowry's getting $100 million over the next 3 years.
Why did that pay $22 to go to the VIP theater to see The Mummy? Well, because Tom Cruise needs to get paid.
Do you ever go to those VIP theaters?
I have a couple times. I don't care for them a whole bunch.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Those things are so overrated. First off, and this is something that you won't be able to relate to. The wine, and it's like $13 for a glass of wine, and that wine is crap. The bottle, okay, for anyone listening.
House Red?
Yeah, exactly. It's not even a good house. This is in a bad neighborhood. The bottle of wine that they are using to pour for you in the VIP theater, that bottle costs less than it did for you for that one glass.
Yep.
And also, like, I don't know, I don't need all this space when I watch a movie. Just give me a, you know, as long as the guy in front of me, you know, isn't Bismack Biyombo, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, just so I can see the screen. The VIP thing, I don't get it.
The attraction for me when the VIP theater first came about, reserved seat.
No,
I didn't have to wait 2 hours in line. That's why I wanted it.
All right.
But now they do that in other venues.
I hate the reserve seat. Hate it. You got to earn that seat. I'm 42. I'm going to go old man on you.
You like standing in line for
because
6 hours?
You earn it. I remember in 1988, 89, when the first Michael Keaton Batman movie came out, me and my cousin, my twin brother, we had to line up for hours. And then just to get the ticket. Then we lined up again for another hour or so, you know, so we'd get a good seat. And when the lights went out and, you know, the credits started, everyone was cheering, I felt like I earned it. I was like, this feels that much sweeter because the sweet tastes better with a little sour.
Last time I did that was the first Hunger Games movie. Yeah. We went like...
You're a loser.
3 hours in advance. It was the midnight show. I was doing mornings, so we went from there to Tim Hortons and then went to work for 4 a.m.
Morning show where?
In Winnipeg.
In Winnipeg? How was your performance that day?
It was outstanding because I had like 3 hours sleep and we saw the Hunger... We were the first people to see the Hunger Games though. But we waited in line for like 3 hours. A couple of us went ahead because we were nice. And we were in the front row.
Oh!
And, you know, action scenes from the front row?
Good.
No!
Not good at all.
No! So honestly, like, they want $4 extra for me to pick a reserved seat and show up when I want to show up. Done. And if it was 12, you know, it was $12 for VIP, whatever, done. I'm in. I'll pay it. I don't want your weird food because your nachos were really subpar. You go wine, I judge by nachos.
Yeah.
Subpar.
Yeah.
But yeah, the price you pay for booze at the movies.
That's why just my girlfriend and I, we just empty water bottle. We take two water bottles. That's enough for a bottle of wine. Taken into the movie theater. Because there's no security in a movie theater. It's like 13-year-olds. They don't care.
What's your thigh flask situation? Are you set up with a... You got like IV bags just strapped there?
No, just normal water bottles. Just normal plastic water bottles. We fill them up and we're
you
good to go.
You keister those or you just kind of hide them under your armpit? Or what?
I keister them.
Okay,
it's very uncomfortable. Kristen Shildon's going to be joining us at 4:30. We'll get into, obviously, our Maple Leafs reporter. We'll talk about the development camp that's going on. And
Hockey in July?
Follow me.
Okay.
Follow me for a second here.
I trust you.
I learned that during these camps, one of the things that gets discussed, that goes over, is media training. Media training, social media awareness. I want to know what the hell's going on. Because here's the thing. I don't want any player in any sport. I don't want any media training. I want no social media awareness. Now, on our part, on the media, when a player says something stupid, we have to promise not to rip them and celebrate their stupidity, but not in a mean way. And so we'll promise to do that. But then the athletes, I don't want you to be well trained. I want you to say dumb things. I want you to go nuts. I want Twitter wars. I want we could talk about CFL Twitter wars that go around all the time. If you had that in the NHL, how much more fun would the NHL be if players did CFL-style Twitter wars?
Oh, when the Argos' Sean Lemon starts ripping on offensive linemen?
Yes!
That's a great... Can you imagine?
What about Ricky Foley?
That would be... somebody just start... P.K. Subban starts ripping on Connor McDavid?
Yeah.
Ah! Gosh, that'd be amazing. Because we had Subban and Crosby.
Yeah.
And my
bad breath.
My breath smells. And Crosby, Crosby doesn't have the personality to hold this end up, so
yeah.
He realizes that. I want something. I'm with you. I want fire.
Yes, exactly.
And I will be cool with that. I will not take it out of context. You and I will agree to that.
Yes.
We just got to get everybody else.
Kristen Shelton joins us at 4:30. We're also going to get in the Blue Jays and why it's time to let everyone know two facts. One, they are not making the playoffs.
Agreed.
Two, they are also not blowing it up. We'll talk about that. This is Overdrive. You're listening to it right here on TSN 1050 and streaming on the TSN Go app. This is Overdrive right here on TSN 1050. I'm Matt Cause. That's Derek Taylor. Filling in for Brian Hayes, Jamie McLennan, Jeff O'Neill all this week. How are you doing, Derek?
I am all right. I'm a little dismayed that you take our movie theater operators for granted in this great country. That hurts.
That
hurts that you abuse them in such
abuse fashion I will sneak in a bottle of wine. I am totally, totally good with it. And now someone, Corbin Dallas, writes in about sneaking in a Mickey of whiskey or brandy to the movies. Same thing at Rico. No security. You could bring in a pig roast. Maybe it's a question we throw to the listeners. What have you snuck into a sporting event?
What's the biggest thing you've snuck in? Because if you could sneak in a pig roast, you would be the most popular. Somebody sneaks in some buns, a little butter. Oh, yeah. Pull some pork off this bad boy.
I feel bad for the people sitting next to you if they're vegetarian, if suddenly someone brings out a pig roast.
You don't feel the responsibility because they don't make any money off these movies. At least they say, showing the movie, we make no money. That's why pop is $12.
We still buy popcorn to go with the wine. I go to the movies all the time. I am not part of the problem with the movie theaters or the movie theater company. They got to love me.
You steal just a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I steal just a little bit. Kristen Shelton joins us in a moment. We talk Leafs, and we talk about how can we make sure these players do not get educated on proper social media awareness. But right now, time now for update and traffic. I mean, we'll all wait for it before we start talking. Yelling's about to happen. This is TSN 1050. This is Overdrive. Kristen Shilton will join us in a moment, but first, more of the Beastie Boys. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, hold on a second. Technical producer Mark Mullen, is this just like an instrumental track? Because we know Sabotage. Okay. We were both waiting for the yelling, weren't we?
Yeah, do we have to yell ourselves?
I mean, we could, but...
It would not be the same.
It would not. No, it certainly would not be the same. Joining us on the line, it is Leafs reporter Kristen Shelton. Kristen, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing very well. I'm going to start with the hardest question you've been asked, because you were on earlier on this station, and they probably asked you about how some of the young players are developing, didn't they?
They did indeed.
Amateurs. Kristen, you're there every day. You've got a fine scout's eye. You're watching everything that's going on. Can you find a way to describe Timothy Liljegren without using the term smooth skating defenseman or excellent puck mover? Can you describe him without using any of those adjectives?
I could try. I could say
go
that
for it.
He's shifty. Okay. He has good awareness on the ice of where others are in relation to him, good spatial awareness out there, mm-hmm. and he can feel when there's pressure around, so he can maneuver away. His movement on the ice is so crisp. I mean, it's the first thing you want to talk about. It's like, it's ridiculous. You should see him.
That wasn't bad. Derek, what would you give Kristen out of 10? Because that was a hard question.
That was.
Now, we're ranking this for degree of difficulty. It's, you know, like in Olympic diving, we didn't ask her to do a cannonball. She had to do a quadruple backflip.
Are we doing like diving like 1 to 10 and not like the old 6.0 score?
No, let's go to 10. 6.0.
8.5. Degree of difficulty, 3.2.
Okay, yeah. No, it was hard.
It was, yeah.
That's fair.
It was very hard.
It wasn't an inward triple or anything, but it was pretty difficult.
Yeah. I don't even know what an inward triple is. To me, I think the most fascinating thing, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to anyone in management, is that the camp, forget about the skating, but also includes media training, social media awareness. And my feeling on that is, I don't want any of these players to learn anything about the proper way to handle social media. Because it's a lot more fun when there's Twitter beefs, when there's issues with Instagram. It's more fun for the fans, and it's a hell of a lot more fun for us in the media.
Well, certainly it is. It does take away a certain fun factor for all of us, but it's actually, it was funny, the prospects, I think some of them probably think that it's a bigger deal, or some of the invitees who haven't been through this type of thing before, they probably think it's blown out of proportion, all these, the media training and the social media training. But another reporter the first day here went up to a prospect, or one of the free agent invites, and literally pulled up a tweet that he had sent out 3 years ago and was like, hey, you know, tell me about this thing you tweeted. And the prospect was just like, oh my gosh, it's true. Like,
what?
It actually is that you go back and you look at their social media channels to see, you know, what they're interested in, to see what they've done. And we've seen prospects get burned in the past where they don't delete tweets and then people find them. So it's necessary training. And I think by the end of the week, they certainly appreciate having a heads up about what to expect.
It's necessary.
That's stalking. It's stalking that's going on right now by management.
Well, and then it's only so valid, right? Because he tweeted it when he was 15. Like, I thank goodness Twitter wasn't around when I was 15, because I would have mouthed off about some stuff. It's we need to come to some sort of deal with these kids, Kristen. What's as a reporter? What do you do with stuff like that? Because it's not everything they tweet is the biggest thing in the world, but in some facet of the media, be it us, or be it blogs, or be it someone else's Twitter account, it gets blown up to be the biggest thing in the world, and all of a sudden they're defending their stance on Ukraine when they're 18, and what do they really know, right? Because
Ukraine is weak.
They retweeted something. So how do you approach it as a reporter?
How I approach it is that if you are tweeting or Instagramming, or if you're doing something that really has nothing to do with your job, I don't really touch that. Like, for example, Austin Matthews, you know, Instagramming himself in California, wherever he is, and then everyone's talking about his outfits, and they're talking about what he's wearing, and whether he's holding a fidget spinner, and all these different things. That doesn't concern me. That's your thing. That's your time. You do what you do. If it has something to do with hockey or something to do with a person's character, which obviously, knowing the Leafs organization, it's a big thing that players have high character, they conduct themselves professionally. As long as it's within the lines of something to do with hockey or something to do with them as a, you know, if they're over the line, the character line, then it's something that I might touch. But everything else, I don't really tread into those waters of let's read into this, let's point this out, let's make fun of that. As a reporter, I don't really do that, but other people, they enjoy it, and that's fine. I try to stay away from that, though.
Hypothetical situation from real life. Austin Matthews is on the balcony of the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas, two bricks of cash, one in each hand, faking a phone call to Floyd Mayweather, a la Evander Kane during the lockout. Yes or no for you?
Oh yeah, that's a yes, because that has to do with it's the lockout. It obviously has something to do with that, so that is a yes. But if it was just him holding money, I'd be like, well, we know he has a lot of money, so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's D-baggy, but that's fine.
Yeah,
if any of my friends did that, I'd be like, Ted, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What you do on your own time.
Yeah. Well, here's what we need to do. We were talking about this before. Everyone who works in the media, whether it be mainstream or blogs or whatever, if we all agree not to say this player has poor character or is being a distraction, if we all agree we will never do that, can we get the players to start doing Twitter wars? Because what I need is I need Austin Matthews holding up his Calder and, you know, sending an at to everyone else and to Winnipeg, because that would make it a lot more fun. And then we all agree, we won't get angry at you.
Yeah.
Can we get the players to go, okay, we'll start treating social media like we were in the WWE?
You know what? I think there would be a lot of guys who have a lot of personality that don't get to show it that would really enjoy like a ceasefire between the two sides. I think that they'd be into that because then they could have fun and be funny and do what comes naturally on social media. And instead of wondering how we are all going to react to it, how we're going to blow it out of proportion, how they're going to get asked about it. Like if, you know, they're wearing weird hats or weird coats or whatever it is.
Or they're singing Bon Jovi.
Yes. I think if we could negotiate that, we need a powerful negotiator. We need someone with a high skill set to come in and negotiate that for us. But I think if we could do it, it would liven up hockey, right? Because there's great personalities in hockey, I think, and they show it sometimes when you don't have a camera or a microphone around to capture it, but we don't see it as much because that's just how hockey players are. But it would really liven up the sport, I think, if guys felt more comfortable and weren't worried about, you know, hockey players seem to worry about any sort of quote-unquote backlash more than, you know, like a basketball player or a football player. They just go for it. I think hockey players need to just go for it, too.
Hockey and baseball. Hockey and North American baseball players.
How dare you celebrate your home run? I'm going to throw a ball at your head.
Remember, it used to be a big deal that Ovechkin would jump into the glass to celebrate because he's showing up the other team.
Now William Nylander jumps into the glass, so...
And it's a little bit.
Trade Nylander for a defenseman. I didn't know he did that.
I remember Theo Fleury sliding down the ice on both his knees, whipping his arms around just because. Like, how bad did we try to make something happen between Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel? Hey, what do you think of Jack Eichel? Oh, what do you think of the rivalry? Like, I don't know him from Adam. We might have played against each other.
No, I'm getting angry at Connor McDavid. He should have made something up. He's like, oh, yeah, that Eichel, that guy stinks.
But Connor knows he's not a huge personality. Like, Kristen, we're talking about the Sidney Crosby, PK Subban. Crosby knows he's not the personality Subban is because nobody is. And Crosby's like, okay, I'm gonna play my part here, but I'm just gonna be who I am. And more hockey guys, to your point, need to just be allowed to be who they are without whatever it is, peer pressure or locker room pressure.
Well, not a fear of some sort of retribution from anywhere, just to, you know, be able to play along, because that's what a lot of these things are, is it's just guys playing along and guys having fun, and it's they have this incredible opportunity on the platforms that they do to you know, they know they're here and they know a guy who plays there, and maybe they want to have some fun, but there's this fear of, like, if you make a comment or if you do this, it becomes a thing. But, I mean, just thinking back on where, you know, how that all started, I think you were just mentioning Theo Fleury, guys who used to just have more fun with it. Now that everybody can see it and they can talk about it and it's instantaneous, guys feel like they can be themselves less in front of the press than they did before. And it used to be, obviously, a very different culture, but now you don't have, for every PK Subban, you've got, like, 200 Sidney Crosbys who just are, you know, who aren't willing to put themselves out there like that.
And it would do a lot for me to combat from non-hockey fans what they think of hockey players. Because my wife's not a real big hockey fan, but she thinks, oh, these guys didn't go to college, they're not very bright. And I'm assuming, like, hockey players are no different than the rest of the population as far as there's geniuses and there's dumb people and there's everybody in between. And let's just get to...
Preach! Preach, brother.
Let's just know who you are. We just want to know you guys better.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe,
I would love it.
Maybe we should just go through every hockey player's air tweets from 5 years ago. Kristen, before we let you go, because I feel like my producer is going to want at least one sports question, I'm going to give you three options. You may pick one.
All right.
How has Jeremy Bracco looked? Are you comfortable with McElhaney as the backup goaltender or the future of Connor Brown? Of those three, you may choose one.
Well, let's talk Connor Brown, because I think that's probably the most relevant topic to the Leafs right now is getting him under contract. I know there's There's a lot of unrest right now from what I've seen from the fan base. They're very worried about how they're going to be able to do this. The Leafs don't really have the cap space at the moment to even sign him, because as we saw the other day with all their overages, and when you add up all of that, they only have, I think, something like $450,000 in cap space. So they need to do something to make the room for Brown. So it sort of creates this almost this tension of, here's a player that you know you want, that had 20 goals last season, under the radar because his name wasn't Matthews or Marner or Nylander, but still a really important part of the team and someone who should have a big role in their future. But with the other off-season acquisitions that the Leafs have made, they don't have the ability at the moment to really give him, the type of contract that he's going to, that he wants and that he deserves. So there has to be a trade, something has to happen for the Leafs, conceivably, unless they have some other way out of it. They'll have to make some moves to get Brown under contract, but that is a priority for them. That's something that they need to get done. And it seems like everything is a work in progress, and there's still time, of course, but we're actually going to get to talk to Connor Brown tomorrow here at development camp. So maybe we'll get some insight from him on how he feels about the situation as it is now.
And get him to tweet out that the Leafs are a really cheap organization. Kristen, as always, a pleasure. When you see Lou Lamoriello, please give him two messages. He left his towel at my place, but I can't invite him to another pool party until he hits a tanning salon. That man, it's like two Q-tips. So give my best to him. But if you could give that message, I have his towel, and that guy's got a tan up, or he's not coming to another one of my pool parties. Thanks so much, Kristen.
I got it. Thanks, guys.
Take care. The player or the management goes through players' old tweets from years ago. Whose job is that?
It was a reporter, she said, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you would do.
Yeah.
Every guy who changes teams in free agency in the NBA, they go back and go, oh, super teams are the worst. It's like, oh, Kevin Durant, you're joining a super team now. Yeah. So you crabbed about it 3 years ago. Seems kind of ironic, doesn't it?
It does.
And look how it's changed.
Yes, because Durant is a coward. Lazy. Sorry, very different.
My bad. During the break. My bad. Awesome.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Blue Jays. Then 5 o'clock hour. Jack Armstrong joins us a little bit after 5 o'clock. That's Derek Taylor. I'm Matthew Cause. This is Overdrive. You're listening here on TSN 1050. Or streaming on the TSN Go app. Yeah, welcome back to Overdrive. I'm Matt Cause. That is Derek Taylor. Hope everyone's having a great Monday with the rain coming down. Hope your drive is going okay. Jack Armstrong, your Raptors. Okay, I'm done with that. I was just trying to match the voice with the music.
I feel you. What? It is Power 99. I'll rock all the time. Just wouldn't fit, right?
No, it really wouldn't.
You have to really growl it up.
Or you couldn't do the NPR voice. Hey, everybody, this is you can't do that. You gotta go big. The Blue Jays are not making the playoffs this year.
No.
I think we can just for anyone who's thinking, well, maybe there's a chance.
They're only 5 games out of the wild card, Matt.
There are 7, or there are 7 teams ahead of them for the wild card. Here's what it comes down to. I'll just do some simple math, and we'll get into this more in the 6 o'clock hour. Dirk Harris is going to join us. To reach 88 wins, the Blue Jays would have to have a winning percentage of about .635. Only 2 teams in baseball are better than that. Houston and the Dodgers, and the Jays have the oldest roster in the game. To get to that level of 88 wins, which is where you can maybe creep in that second wild card, it's not happening. And I think this is more of a public service announcement for anyone's thinking, well, they can turn it around. There's still, X amount of games. There's still 74 games left. It's not happening.
It is Blue Monday over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Well, I'm just being honest.
I thought an interesting stat I hadn't thought too much about, but spotted on Twitter, and I wish I could give credit to the person who did it.
Just say you came up with it.
See, I'm not that kind of guy, though. I'm not that smart. It pointed out that Jose Bautista, 65-year-old Jose Bautista,
yeah,
has played the most games for this team. He's played 88 games. And what were we worried about Bautista? Oh, he's injured forever.
He's injured.
He's done.
Yeah.
Terrible slow start. He's played 88 games. Justin Smoke next among position players with 87.
Jose Bautista has not missed a game.
That's unbelievable.
Has not missed a game.
And, I mean, we laugh. Full credit to Batista for not missing a game. But what would you have bet on that? Like, something? Any, would you bet north of a dollar that Jose Batista would lead them in games played?
No, not even close.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And that's where Jays fans would come from. Well, injury luck has been so bad. And J-Hap isn't going to get shelled like he did
Sunday
every time. Yeah, and
Donaldson will eventually be fully healthy. But
he's not going to throw every ball over first base to the moon, right? So
we'll talk about that 19-1 game the other day.
That was... To go through that would be remarkable.
I just feel bad for the fans. Jack Armstrong joins us next. You're listening to Overdrive. That's Derek Taylor. I'm Matt Cause right here on TSN 1050.